So today, my in-laws are actually with me this morning, and today is my mother-in-law Judy's birthday. I'm not sure which one, but I'm sure 21. I'm sure it's getting up there. So there's I'd like to start with a story. One day, a priest bought some very, very expensive vestments. I'm sure you don't know who they are, who this person is, and so he'll remain nameless. But when he bought them, he brought them home, and when the presbytera found out how much they cost, she thought, why on earth would you spend that much money on vestments? You know we don't have much money right now. And he said, I understand, but when I put them on, the devil made me do it. When the priest says, when I put them on, the devil said, you look really good in those vestments. You really need those vestments. They have your name written all over them. And so the presbytera says, well, why didn't you say, get behind me, Satan? The priest says, I did. I said, get behind me, Satan. And he said, you look pretty good from there too. The point is, you just can't get rid of Satan and his demons. They're always ready with some type of counter attack. They're always ready to try luring you into doing something maybe you shouldn't. But anyhow, so today's gospel reading is a little bit peculiar. I've always found it peculiar. Maybe you haven't. But so the story is that there was a demon-possessed man who was possessed by a legion of demons, and was the demons were then cast into 2,000 pigs. The pigs then run down into the water and drown. But the man that was healed from this oppression wants to be with Jesus after he's healed and in his right mind. He begs Jesus that he would stay with him, but Jesus says, no, you must go and proclaim all the good things that God has done to you, to your village and everywhere you're at. And so sometimes when we reflect on different passages of Scripture, sometimes it's good to think through a different perspective. You know, so this story is kind of like a third-person narrator, but sometimes it's good to place ourselves in the story and think, what were the thoughts going on in different characters in this story? And so at least this time as I read through it, I thought, what do you think that the pig's herdsmen were thinking? You know, like, I think they would probably have had a ton of questions for Jesus. you know, and probably the first one would have been, Jesus Christ, what did you do? These were my pigs. These weren't your pigs. And besides, why couldn't you just cast the demons straight into the ocean or into the sea? Why not skip the middleman altogether? Or if it's got to get cast into something, how about some mosquitoes, right? We could stand to have some mosquitoes be drowned, I think. Well, anyhow, I don't know if I'll answer all those questions that I was thinking about from the pig herdsman, but maybe a few of them at the end of the sermon. But I'd like to briefly point out that the sermon today, the gospel message today, is from Luke chapter 8. And in this text specifically, we have three different stories that illustrate how Jesus is the authority of God upon earth. So in the first story that comes right before this one, Jesus calms the storm. They get into the boat, and he's asleep I think it says on a cushion. And there's this huge storm, and there's these winds, and the disciples are terrified. And they say, Jesus, you know, don't you care? We're going to perish. And he comes up, and he rebukes the winds and the sea, and it's calm. And the disciples respond at this point, and they say, who is this then that commands even winds and water, and they obey him? So I want to point out, so first, there's this realm which Christ has authority over, and this is the natural forces and disaster, right? He's able to calm the natural violences. The second thing is in this passage that we read today, Jesus has power over all spiritual beings. We see that he casts out these demons from the demon-possessed. And then the third story, which follows immediately after this, is the story that you're all familiar with. It's Jairus, who's the leader of the synagogue. His daughter had passed away, and the woman with the flow of blood comes and touches his garments on his way there. And so he heals the woman with the sickness, but then also raises the dead woman. And so you have these three levels of extreme things beyond human control that Christ, as God, showed his divine power in. First, natural forces. Second, the demon-possessed. And just to point this out too, the humans that were trying to bind them couldn't bind him. They couldn't control him. And Jesus was able to loose him, and now even health and sickness he raises. So this is the middle story in a three-story part that shows Christ's authority as God. So now let's begin with this text real quick. It says that Jesus sailed to the country of the Gerasenes. Now this place at the time was quite Gentile. The fact that they were raising pigs is a big indicator. If you were a good law-abiding Jewish citizen, you would not have pigs, you wouldn't touch pigs, and you definitely wouldn't sell pigs to other Gentiles. So this fact alone shows that this was a Gentile area. And if any of you have ever had the question of whether Jesus spoke Greek, this would indicate that he would have had to know at least enough to get by in this story, where they would have known Greek with the other Gentiles. And so he comes to the land of the Gerasenes probably because he's labored among Israel, and he needs to rest. But the rest isn't going to happen, because as soon as the demoniac sees him, he runs to him and he falls on his knees. And some people have pointed out that this might be a temptation of Jesus. That the demon says, what the demon says is, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." Almost as though this isn't yet the second coming, but some have indicated that this might be possible, that he's saying to Jesus, tempting him into doing something before his time, even. I don't know if I go along with it exactly for a couple other reasons, but it's an interesting idea that Jesus wasn't only tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane and in the desert, but throughout his whole ministry. And so the man comes to him and he says, "Do not torment me." And then he goes on to say, Jesus says, "What is your name?" And he says, "My name is Legion, because there is many." Now the word legion was a word used for Roman soldiers, and it was an amount of 6,000. So I think there's really two things here. Like, A, that there's that this man has been completely absorbed by demonic activity, but second, that he refers to a military group shows the perspective of the demons that this is a spiritual war, that this isn't just he just happened to fall prey, but the demons themselves view themselves as demonic soldiers and would use this term. So I'm going to skip ahead to the end, I think. The fact that the demons ask Jesus to be sent into the pigs is actually an act of mercy on Jesus' part. We read in another story, when there was a man who was possessed, Christ apparently cast out this demon and sent him to the abyss, because this is what the demons ask not to be cast into the abyss. So there's another story where he apparently did. There was a man possessed with only one demon, and he apparently cast him to the abyss because the demon really didn't want to be cast out and fought, and the man himself was besieged, and they thought that he himself had died. He was lying on the ground, and the struggle was so strong, they thought the man died. Now, I could only imagine that if there was 6,000, that could have been a very different ending of the story, that Jesus might have had to actually raise him again from the dead after casting them out. So this was a act of mercy on Jesus' part to cast them into the pigs. And also the pigs themselves in Jewish culture was the most unclean of animals. It was viewed as the most unclean thing. And so it corresponds with the most unclean of spirits, of spiritual beings that they're cast in. But it shows too, as most of you are familiar, in our baptism exorcisms, one of the second prayer talks about how the demons don't even have authority or control over the pigs. They weren't able to remain in the pigs. As soon as they entered the pigs, they startled them and they lost control of them and they drowned in the sea. And so, anyhow, so I'm going off. But so the point is that Jesus, we as mankind, were created according to Psalm 8 a little lower than the spiritual beings. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you consider him? You have made him lower than the spiritual beings and crowned him with glory. And so mankind wasn't able to bind even this demoniac, but the demons couldn't do anything apart from Christ. And so what is the response of the crowd as after they cast out the demons and they see this man sitting in his right mind and clothed? The response is the whole city says, "Depart from us. Get away from here. We don't want you here." And I think that's such an interesting parallel. In an earlier chapter 5, Peter himself, after he witnesses this great catch of fish, says, "Depart from me, for I am an unworthy man. I am a sinful man." And it echoes also of what Isaiah says in chapter 6. Isaiah sees God sitting on his throne of glory. And what is it that he says? He says in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It seems that this story is illustrating this point. The natural response when we encounter God is recognizing our own sinfulness in our own worthiness, and we can't bear it. We don't want Christ to be in our presence when we see him so clearly. And so this is the response of Peter, of Isaiah, and this entire village of people who see God working in their own village, in this demoniac. And so, let me just say that none of us are worthy to stand in God's presence. And so let us also be like the man who had the legion cast out of him. Let us run to him, and let us fall on our knees and ask to be with him. We may have many of our own demons that we fight, many of our own passions that we struggle with, but let us take this man as the example and beg Christ to stay with us. Christ, in this account, when he's physical on earth, he can't be with everyone, and he says he'll send the Holy Spirit and it'll be beneficial for us. And now he could dwell with every one of us. And so let us, like this man, beg, knowing that he will be with us. He will not send us away. He will be with us, and he has the power to help us fight and struggle with our own demons and our own passions and to be victorious. And so may we all practice this presence of God in our lives that will cast away the demons, and that we too would see him at work in our own lives and say with Isaiah, "I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Amen.